Well, the decision has been made by prosecutors down in Okinawa. They've been questioning this captain ever since the collision, which took place near disputed islands, the Senkakus. They are controlled by Japan, but claimed by China. Now, what happened was this fishing captain's boat collided with two Japanese patrol ships. He was brought back here to Japan. Now, the prosecutors say the reason they are releasing him is because the collision with the boat, while it might have been deliberate, was not premeditated. But they also say that they have taken into account Japan's national interests. They say, considering the impact on the Japan-China relationship, they decided it wasn't worth continuing to detain and investigate the captain. Japan, of course, has come under intense pressure from China, which has been demanding that this captain be released immediately.
This escalated very, very quickly, as you say, Roland Burke. Is that an argument that the Chinese are testing their territorial claims, or is this something of a one-off? It's not really a kind of backstory of competition for the waters in the Pacific.
Well, I think the backstory is that China is really testing its growing strength, its growing influence in the region, and testing its strength against Japan, a country which is overtaking, certainly economically. For the Japanese, what they were trying to do here was keep it calm. They were trying to keep this as an issue of an alleged criminal act that had taken place in what they see as Japanese territory. From the Chinese point of view, though, they wanted to ramp this up further and further, perhaps hoping that they could turn this incident into a territorial dispute over who actually controls the Senkakus. But the pressure on Japan was intense. China cut off high-level meetings. Tens of thousands of Japanese tourists cancelled their holidays here in Japan. Even Japan's biggest boy band, called SMAP, found that the Chinese organisers of concerts that were due to take place in Shanghai had cancelled those events. So really, Japan had a lot to lose in this dispute. The problem, of course, though, is that backing down like this makes Japan look rather weak.
Well, the cancellation of the SMAP concert, it comes as a shock to me, that's for sure. I'll have to check out some SMAP videos online later on this morning. What is the damage that the Japanese media is saying in terms of China-Japan relations that is not going to be undone, even though people go back to smiling and diplomatic relations are restored, all that?
Well, I think the biggest damage that has been done is really, in a way, in the long term, to China, because this is a country that's emerging onto the global stage, trying to play a bigger role. And really, the last few weeks have cast a chill over China's neighbours. And I think countries are going to be looking at this incident as they deal with China and its growing power in the future.
Finally, Roland Burke, four Japanese nationals were detained yesterday. What's their fate, as far as we know?
Well, they're being held suspected of photographing and going into a Chinese military facility without permission. Some people here speculate that that might be linked to the Chinese captain's case, and the government of Japan is asking for access to them.
All right, Roland Burke, BBC Japan correspondent, talking about the end of a two-week-long standoff with the release by Japan of a Chinese fishing boat captain. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.